Warning: some of the language in these videos is not censored and may be considered slightly offensive to some viewers.
I'm here today to talk about recent recommendations to ask employers to do your dirty work. Asking them to mandate vaccines is another misstep in a parade of failures of our government. You want to know why there's so much kickback on this? We simply don't trust you. And why would we? It's gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to show me your papers if you want to work here.
Do not comply. Don't submit. That's the feeling that a lot of us have here in the United States and in many Western countries around the world, as we are subjected to medical tyranny, totalitarianism, authoritarianism. It seems like those on the left and the right both just have bad ideas or no ideas. And if you're like me, I've come to the end of the road where I am sick of it. And I am in that exact same position. Like, I am not going to submit to any of this. And so I started asking myself, who out there isn't thinking like the dichotomy of us versus them, left versus right? Who's somewhere on a different planet? Let me find someone on Mars. So I invite on the show Michael Malice, who's the author of Dear Reader, The New Right, and the newest book that I purchased myself, The Anarchist Handbook, which you can find at anarchisthandbook.com. He's the host of Your Welcome podcast. Just to clarify, his pronouns are he, him. He's very sensitive about that. And he's also a world-renowned sheath underwear model. Michael Malice, welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
Thank you. I, as you know, am from Mars. You are from Venus. So this is going to be an interesting conversation between us. And it's beautiful because under anarchism, as you know, there are no roads because there's no state. So since you've come to the end of the road, you've come to the right place.
Yeah. And I know that my audience, just to clarify, the reason why I think this is a weird conversation, this is a little bit like, trying something for the first time here, my first puff of weed. You know, we tend to not like the word anarchist, and I know that you know that. People on the right wing, people that are libertarian, people that are conservative, immediately they react, and when they hear anarchist, they just go bad. Why is that wrong? Like, why do we react like that?
Well, that's good. You want people who are, if someone can be alienated just by a term and they're not interested in hearing the ideas behind them, they're not going to be good fellow travelers or warriors alongside you in service of fighting for freedom. So if there's a simple word that, or someone's dress or how their hair is cut, that allows you to dismiss an entire ideology, go away. We don't want you and we don't need you. Anarchism is not a fan of democracy. The idea that simply because a lot of people around you think it's appropriate for you to close down your restaurant, gym, or grocery store, that somehow this has any power or any moral legitimacy over your life or your family.
Yeah, and so that's why I brought you on, because if you guys are watching, if you guys are listening, my blind viewers on podcast, I want to know an anarchist perspective on the world that's going on. And Michael's going to have about an hour to try to convince myself and Savannah on why we should abandon, or at least explore away from our traditional political ideas and why this might be a solution to a world that seems like it has none. On that note, welcome back to a very weird and unusual episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. Michael's not familiar. We have confetti of color. We try to keep things, these 8K graphics. Give Michael a little confetti there. He deserves it. A little anarchy confetti.
Well, let me say something. On New Year's Eve, like 7 years ago, someone glitter bombed my home, one of my guests, and I'm still finding the glitter. So if I find that in my monitor a few weeks from now, I'm coming for you, Schaefer.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're the glitter to our show today. My name's Elijah Schaefer.
Wait. You're the one who had the frosted tips. No one, you put that glitter on me,
I know,
sister.
I know. But you know, for all of you guys that are tuning in for the first time, I'm Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 18 hosts now. I used to be top 17 and they keep moving me down the roster on the Blaze TV platform. I'm joined by my lovely host, co-host, producer, Savannah Hernandez, who is here in the studio, and she's in HD. You might have noticed we got some new cameras.
We look good today, Lige. So
we look good. I don't think people watch me for my looks, but we'll get into that. Before we go any further, I got to remind you guys that, you know, many of you are just starting out buying a home. You're having babies. You're building wealth. Also, you're doing this crazy thing we all do, which is breathe oxygen. Unfortunately, in a world that is always strapped down by fear, and people are just crying. They're always like, I'm gonna die. Well, guess what, buddy? Yeah, you're gonna die eventually. We're all gonna die, and we're just trying to make sense of the world. But you've got to secure your family's future, your future, by establishing a will, by going to trustandwill.com/SO. Now, this is so important because it's kind of funny as we talk about the world getting crazier. It's like your safety's never been guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. And if you go to trustandwill.com/SO, you can set up an estate plan that's simple, convenient, and secure. For as little as $39, you can nominate guardians for your children, or even your pets, really. Determine who gets your stuff and plan for future medical care, all from the comfort of your home, like all of you love to do, especially in places like New York, LA, and stuff, which we're going to talk about, where you might not be allowed to leave your home to actually get any of this stuff done. Hiring a traditional state attorney costs thousands of dollars, and it's just like this one-size-fits-all template. We don't like that here. It's slightly offensive. But Trust and Will documents are designed by estate planning experts and customized to the state that you live in. And with live customer service 7 days a week, trustandwill.com's team will be available to answer any and all questions. If you're like me, like, I don't even know why I'd need that. What's the point? Well, go ahead and give them a call. Check it out. You can also take their quiz, which I did as well. It's really easy. Helps figure out what you need. And it's very customized for, like, myself and also for you. They're the most trusted name in online estate planning, the category leader on Trustpilot, and they've helped hundreds of thousands of people protect their family's assets and legacy. And so please gain the peace of mind at trustandwill.com/SO and get 10% off plus free shipping of all your customized legal documents. Do not wait. Go right now. This is very important. Get 10% off plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/SO. That's trustandwill.com/SO. Check it out. Michael.
Wait, can I say something?
Yeah.
Because your sponsor just validated one of the big points of anarchism. Why does an estate lawyer have to cost thousands of dollars? If I want to sit down and say my estate is going, my house goes to my wife and my assets get divided between my three kids, this is a piece of paper. This should take me 5 minutes and a rubber stamp from a notary. Because whenever the government has a monopoly on any service, whether it's education, whether it's security, whether it's whatever you want to think of, healthcare, it's always going to be very expensive and it's going to hurt poor people first. If you had competition in law, you would not have this government monopoly and all the insane inefficiencies that come with it.
Okay, yeah, and this is why I want to ask you this. I mean, I'm in a position right now. I messaged you on Twitter. If you can go to my screen, Savannah. This is not new, but I promised my you guys, the SOBs, you slightly offensive backers, we would get into this, and I wanted to get into this with Michael and try to understand this. We are in a position where the Department of Homeland Security, I'm sure you're familiar with this, put out a new warning talking about potential terror threats. They've talked about these are people who are opposed to COVID measures, claims of election fraud, belief Trump can be reinstated, along with religious holidays, etc. Essentially, and we're going to talk about some of these documents, the federal government has gotten to the point where they have begun to categorize people that watch this show, people like myself, as potential terror threats. In fact, they use this new phrase for people who have shows or people who run podcasts or on TV. They call us threat actors, meaning we spread information that goes against government narratives and might inspire people to revolt against the government. And that's what the government's afraid of. They're seeing there's an anti-government sentiment. And people are not wanting to be Democrat or Republican. They don't want to replace the 78-year-old old man with dementia with another 78-year-old old man with dementia. They're going, we've got to flip the system. And to me, the only thing I know that's different than this would be anarchy, would be revolting against and deregulating, de-establishing the centralized power. And I know when you say that, you automatically get labeled as like an insurrectionist, as a, you know, promoting violence. And so, like, my most important thing is, like, if people are at the point where they want their government to go away, why is it that, like, why are we not bad? Because according to the government, they're saying that if we want them to go away, if we want them to be reformed, and we feel like that we're the bad guys. Like, please help make sense of some of this. Like, are we in the wrong for wanting to do away with our government and wanting to implode the system?
The term potential terror threats is nonsensical. Everyone is a potential terror threat. Everyone is a potential murderer. Everyone's a potential assailant. Everyone's a potential robber. The word potential means it's possible. And literally everyone, unless perhaps they're quadriplegic, has the capacity, theoretically, to engage in horrific acts. The fact that human beings don't is a demonstration that this Hobbesian idea that without government monopoly on police, we'd all be shooting each other, is nonsensical. The police are minutes away when seconds count. If you had a policing system, a security system, just like we have Uber, it would be a lot cheaper. There would be a lot fewer poor people who are the victims of this government monopoly. Because when you have a government monopoly on anything, that means, by definition, there is no accountability and things are expensive. And poor people are the first ones hurt. And it also means you literally do not have any choices. And as you've demonstrated, the most important thing for these actors is to maintain their hold on power And if that means taking on the citizenry, they will do so. The U.S. government has done a far better job of fighting against the American people than they have in Afghanistan. And I'm glad that conservatives are starting to wake up, because conservatives, by and large, are people who follow the rules. So it's kind of hard for them psychologically to understand that there's an entire population of people who will go on television and tell you that they like you, for whom rules are simply a means to further and maintain their agenda.
Okay, and you bring this up because this idea of the government is working against us. And this is why it's interesting to bring you on, because if you're on the right wing right now and you talk about the anti-government rhetoric or sentiments, you're kind of labeled as like a terrorist or whatever. And it's so interesting that the terrorism, like the reason why I'm pissed off with the government is not because I'm just like, you know, I want to be in power. I'm going, you are violating the charter that we set up. You are violating the Constitution. When Biden puts out the moratorium back on evictions and essentially takes away private property ownership, and he comes in and does this and says it's against the Constitution, but to hell with it, I'm going to do it anyway. I go, this is a rogue government. This is a government that is not representing the people. It is not run by the people. It is run by special interest groups. But then at the same time, it's like, I start getting mad about it and speaking about it, and they come out and then they power move and they strong arm me and go, well, we might be violating our charter, but now if you go against us, you're actually a terrorist and we might potentially put you in jail. And I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of, is like, we think we know what might happen or what would need to happen to make the country better, but no one will actually say it. So it's like, when I come to someone like you, who lives outside the spectrum of left versus right, I mean, when I say that, like, I don't think things can be reformed, am I wrong? Like, I mean, what could we actually do to fix the system? Can we fix it?
First of all, every anarchist is on the spectrum, so let me just make that clear, number one. Number two is, I disagree with you when you say this is a rogue government. This is what every government looks like. The Constitution, if you go to a school and there's a sign on the wall that says, no guns here allowed, is that going to prevent a school shooting, or is that going to tell that potential school shooter that this is going to be target practice where people are going to be disarmed and helpless? It's not a coincidence that when you have these mass shootings, it's at places where people are disarmed. The Constitution is the exact same thing for politicians. You'll have something on the wall in Congress that say you shall have no restrictions on freedom of speech, you shall have no restrictions on the right to bear arms. They will look at the sign and they will fight for it publicly, and they will laugh at you behind your back. The First Amendment, people often talk about it being freedom of speech. There's another aspect of the First Amendment, which is there in black and white, which says the American people's right to peaceably assemble shall not be infringed. All the lockdowns are violations of that First Amendment right to peaceably assemble. And not even the strongest conservative has even brought this up as an argument, because they know that the Constitution was a dead letter that was DOA, and it was also passed completely illegally. We talk about in school how you have the War of Independence, 1781, right? It's settled. Then there's a record scratch. They say, oh yeah, there is Confederation. And then 1789 happens. They pretend this 10 years didn't happen. And what happened in Philadelphia, you had a bunch of people who were powerful elites. They sat down, they conspired, they swore themselves to secrecy. No one was allowed to say what was happening. And they say, we're going to overthrow the government and centralize the state because the Articles of Confederation were too weak. So when conservatives say they're for limited government, we had that. And the second it was working as planned, meaning what later became Washington, the federal government, was unable to enforce its edict, very quickly there was a meeting to make sure the hammer could go down, and that culminated in the Whiskey Rebellion. We had free speech criticizing the government, the federal government, was declared a felony under the Adams administration. This isn't 1970. This isn't Woodrow Wilson. For a long time, sex education and contraception education was a felony. Even a doctor couldn't discuss contraception with his patients because that was regarded as pornography. So, not to mention the Second Amendment restrictions, which have been going on for a very long time. So the Constitution, when it comes as a mechanism to being a bulwark, I use that word advisedly, against state power, has been demonstrably terrible and has done a very poor job. The only thing these people understand is cost. when it becomes expensive for them to impose their power on the populace. Now, that cost does not have to mean violence. I absolutely am not saying that at all. But it could be that at a certain point, even just emotionally, it becomes difficult, things like that. Or it becomes expensive in a financial sense to impose their costs. That's the only thing that stops these people who, if they had their druthers, would have a totalitarian state.
Okay, see, and to your point, if you can go to my screen, Savannah, you know, when you look at this Department of Homeland Security, this is our U.S. government, a branch of the U.S. government, which developed recently out of crises, ironically. You know, it says here that how are they going to respond to these terror threats? And you realize this is where I freak out a little bit, is as the world becomes more like an insane asylum and things make less sense, the consequences remain just as severe or even more severe. So it's like there's less ability to know the map and to navigate the system, but the consequences, if you violate the system, they will still drop the hammer on you. And it says that the Department of Homeland Security is, I believe, they're beginning to develop a sort of a censorship bureau at the DHS, because they're going to work and develop to identify and evaluate calls for violence, including online activity associated with the spread of disinformation, conspiracy theories, and false narratives by known or suspected threat actors, and provide updated information. So what you see is the government, which I would normally call for reform, is not only in this moment equating misinformation with violence. We're seeing this woke ideology of words, you know, or ideas becoming equatable to violence or threats of violence. But also they said they're going to try to combat Homeland Security false narratives. They didn't say lies. They didn't say harmful information that directly, you know, puts people in danger. This is, they are going to come against people who believe and spread a story or an explanation of events that counteract the government's position on that situation, like COVID, like masks and vaccines, that you are a violent and a suspected terrorist actor if you say these things. So someone like myself was like, okay, well, it doesn't matter who's in charge now, is the presidency. I can't live in a country where somebody with this kind of power uses that power against me like this. And I'm starting to wake up and see, do you honestly believe in the United States that we have any last chance to rely on the Constitution, to rely on the Bill of Rights, to save us, to elect officials that would respect these documents? Or is the American empire, like Darren Peedy said, is it over? And we have this new established global superpower, the globalist American empire. I mean, can this be reformed, or should we just give up and sort of, I don't know, go in your direction?
The DHS and all those things that came with it were passed by a Republican president, and a Republican Congress are more than happy to vote for it. This claim that we just need to vote in the right people is demonstrably false. There's no hand of it. The Patriot Act's another great example of this. So what happened on September 11th, which was a horrific tragedy, first of all, the intelligence community got it completely wrong, right? No one saw it coming. So they had no consequences for this. As a result of a group of foreigners hijacking planes and flying to the American buildings, you and I and every American are now subject to being spied on by the state, because the state itself screwed up what it was tasked with doing, which was having actionable intelligence to prevent these things from happening to begin with. Not only then, we had the TSA, right? We all have to go through TSA, all these invasive procedures. It didn't stop the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, from having a bomb in his shoe, and he was not stopped by the TSA. He was stopped by his fellow passengers. This is all security theater to create for suburban white women and educated people, college educated people, to give the appearance of security where nothing is being done. And this drip, 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 with the claim that the Republicans are somehow going to stop this from happening, is nonsensical, because they're always the ones first and foremost pushing for, historically, restrictions on freedom. Now it's just like a snake eating its own tail. Like, they'll take turns about who's going to create more government and what, but it's never, ever pulled back. It's never going to go away until it becomes expensive for them to put their bullshit over on the population. And again, I can't think of one example in the last 30 years, including Obamacare is another great one, where there was a law that was a restriction of freedom, and the Constitution gave the politicians even 1 second pause. You can talk about Rand Paul, you can talk about Senator Jim Lee and Justin Amash and Thomas Massie, fine, there's four of them. And the idea that if I don't have the numbers in Congress, somehow, whoopsie daisy, I'm just gonna have to suck it up because these views are popular with a lot of my population, I don't agree. My rights are not up for discussion, let alone a vote.
Yeah, and so this is the interesting thing is as the government is realizing, or at least is fabricating the fact that the threat is coming from the homeland, the point is that within days of them saying that there was going to be this increase in domestic terror threats, which we have not been seeing, by the way, anywhere, it just so happens that today...
I have to interrupt you. We have seen domestic terror, and that's the police. Okay. What the police are doing to this population is absolutely outrageous. It's even worse in other parts of the world because they're unarmed. But to say that it's anything other than a terrorist attack, which is meaning keeping the civilization in a state of fear and submission, I think is something that needs to be pointed out.
And I will honestly, at a point where I think I came into 2020 with more of like a back the blue mindset, yeah. And then just being on the field and interacting with police and seeing the way that they weren't looking to enact justice or to uphold the, you know, sanctity of a society, that these were just political extensions that had the ability to use force with immunity, it sort of began to change my mindset and realizing just because some good people and many good people work in the police force doesn't mean that the force is for good necessarily.
There are no good people working for the police. There are kind people. There are smart people. How much money would Gretchen Whitmer have to pay you for you to shut down a little girl's lemonade stand? How much money would Mario Cuomo have to pay you to tell someone that they can't see their dying mother in the hospital? How much money would Gavin Newsom have to pay you to tell someone that they can't go to a funeral? You cannot do these things in a good conscience, look yourself in the face and say you're the good person. It's the corrupt ones who at least you can bribe to let you go your own way. If you are shutting down a gym or a bar where people know the risks and are not harming anyone, you are the enemy of civilization and you are not a good person, no matter how nice you are to your family.
I feel like, you know, when you're on the when very rarely we have guests on where you're like, huh, you actually learned something new. And you think, it's like, I thought that before, but I have never been able to articulate it. I guess you can't, because I literally could not be paid to do anything evil to these people. Like, I couldn't be like, hey, man, you're not wearing a mask. Here's a ticket for $400. Hey, you cut somebody's hair. Let me put you in jail. I couldn't physically do it. So like, to put it into perspective of like, these people are being bribed by the government. These are like corrupt individuals from the beginning of time that are willing to take money from a corrupt entity to enact their will and their dominion. I mean, I had never thought about police like that, but I mean, obviously we have law enforcement that watch this and that are going to disagree with you. I mean, they're gonna be like, I am a good person.
No one says they're a bad person. No one looks in the mirror and says, I'm a criminal, I'm a bad person. Every single edict passed by Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden is enforced by those boys in blue. Without them, these are just letters to Santa. There's like some crazy old lady in San Francisco says, you shouldn't have guns in your house. That's nice, crazy lady. It's only the police that allow her wishes to be implemented and put into practice. And every single cop, without exception, enforces gun laws, which are unconstitutional, unlawful decrees against freedom. Every cop is a criminal.
And you know, too, Maj, if I could just jump in here, Michael, just to build on your point. So probably one of the most viral things that I did was last year I went and I did like a protest for police, David Dorn specifically, after he was murdered by, you know, Antifa, BLM militants in the street. But I think that what radicalized a lot of conservatives was watching them protect Antifa and BLM arrest conservatives and Trump supporters who were being attacked by these people when they decided to defend themselves. So I just kind of wanted to build on that point, too, because I used to be a huge supporter of the police, and I've reached the point where it's like, I don't even want to say back the blue. I don't even agree with the flag anymore. And it feels weird to even say that. And I feel like a lot of people are in my headspace where it's like, okay, if I don't back the blue, what is there? But also at the same time, how am I going to back an organization that's literally jailing people for defending themselves?
Right. So the choice people have been taught, conservatives especially, is you have to choose between the cops and the rioters, mm-hmm. right? That if you don't have a government monopoly on police, these rioters are going to destroy every single city. That's demonstrably false. If you have competition and security, just like Uber, like every conservative understands the reasoning behind why socialized healthcare is a disaster, right? Why having a only public school system is a disaster without school choice is a complete nightmare for children, right? It's the same exact arguments. When you have a government monopoly on security, which is a service just like education, just like healthcare, the consequences of this in other areas should be understandable to police. What the alternative would be people who are licensed to be private police officers where there's accountability. If a cop shoots someone, right? They are not going to have any consequences for this murder. I'm not talking about Derek Chauvin. We're talking about that case in New Mexico or Arizona. Or there's cases where the ATF got the wrong house and they threw a flash grenade into a baby's crib and they had nothing to do with this. And here's why they're terrible people. Let's suppose you're a chef, right? And as a result of you being a chef, you undercook chicken and someone dies as a result. Wouldn't you be like, you know what, for my own good, I really need to take a look at myself in the mirror because my innocent actions have caused a life to be lost. I don't know how I could live it myself. There's none of that. And if this claim is that there's a few bad apples, why aren't the overwhelming majority of good apples arresting them? Where are the detectives who are ferreting out these supposed bad apples? If they can't even spot it within their own departments, what good are they going to be otherwise? If you had a more armed society, if you had private security where there's competition and accountability, look how easy it is to get someone fired just from social media stuff. It's so much more accountable when you have market forces at play in every field as opposed to a government monopoly. So the alternatives aren't choosing between a government monopoly or rioters. The alternatives are freedom or tyranny. And as you've all seen, as every conservative seen over the last year, the cops will follow any order that they're given, and they will do so and boast about it proudly. And on a moral level, if you give up your conscience, if you give up your sense of right and wrong to somebody else, you're missing something essential about being a human being. Human beings mean I am responsible for my actions. When I meet my maker, I should be able to stand with my head held high and say, I did the right thing. And I didn't just shrug my shoulders when, again, Governor Hogan told me, go tell that woman she can't say goodbye to her mother in the hospital, even though she knows the risks and she's comfortable taking them. It's unconscionable.
Yeah, and I want
to— One more thing. One more thing. I'm sorry.
No worries.
This is something people just seen. We just saw this morning, and I'm sure you saw this as well, Elijah, the cops in Australia holding down a screaming child to make sure he gets the vaccine. How much money would it take for you to do this to children and not just one of them? There's no amount of money that I would take, and I would never be able to live with myself. I'd have nightmares for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and I actually want to bring that up because I actually have family. My family is Australian as well, and they're down there, and I actually have an Australian family member who's a police officer, and I want to jump into that, but I got to let you guys know that what Michael's talking about is this importance of taking your own security into your own hands. And maybe we do have a police state. We can't always change everything. And you actually can't rely on the police. I'm telling you this. Some places it's even hard to get a firearm. But do you know that the Second Amendment, not only the Second Amendment, but just your God-given rights, cover both firearms and body armor. If you own a firearm or even if you don't, because again, maybe you don't like them or it's hard to get them, having body armor is responsible and it's smart to have in any situation. You know, many people also don't know that body armor is legal and it's easy to purchase. You can go online and it ship it straight to your house. It's also affordable and long lasting. You know, I actually have used this armor. So I'm going to tell you, like, I've been in situations where bullets have been flying. I'm not going to be like Hillary Clinton and be like, they were shooting at me as I left the helicopter. It wasn't like that. But I've been around active shooting situations multiple times. I have had guns pointed in my face. Luckily, apparently dry fired. I've also been jumped at gunpoint. Luckily during these situations, you can't control your environment, but you can control whatever you, have the ability to, and body armor is one of those things. If you go to ar500armor.com/offensive, that's ar500armor.com/offensive, you can get 20% off the entire store using that code offensive. And you know, as I use that armor, I have a few different plate carriers. I can't say this, but Savannah's going out on the field a couple times soon. She's going to be wearing the plate carriers herself, and they have everything you need from actual, you know, external plates to concealable plates to Kevlar, etc. You can get whatever level you need to stop whatever armament you want. Get the armor that we trust here at Slightly Offensive. Get the armor that Savannah wears. Where's Savannah? Can we be on screen, Savannah?
Excited to wear it this weekend, actually.
Yeah, this weekend. And somewhere in America, she will be covering chaos that is ensuing on our streets. So go ahead and check it out right now. Make sure you know it's easy, it's affordable, and it's also something that you should have for you, yourself, and your family. Go to ar500armor.com/offensive to get 20% off the entire store. That is ar500armor.com/offensive. Use code offensive to get 20% off the entire store. I encourage you to check it out, including the fact that New York City has been actively trying to ban body armor, which is ridiculous. And we're going to talk about New York.
Can I say one more thing? Yeah. You just made a point. You talked about chaos in the streets. It is precisely those areas that are under government control where your security is most dangerous. If you think about alleys, subway stations, parks, where the government says, we're the ones who are going to be in charge of your security, those are the places you're most likely to be killed and raped and mugged. Whereas if you look at a place like a bar where it's full of young, drunken men who are aggressive, if you look at a hotel where everyone's a stranger that's not native to the area, so you know they can get out of Dodge pretty quickly, those areas are much more safer than the areas where the government has control of your safety and provides for it. So the reason there's chaos on the streets, even if you think what I'm saying about the cops is complete nonsense, at the very least, chaos on the streets demonstrates that the police are very poor at providing security. And in my view, in many cases, this is by design.
You know, it is interesting you bring that up because I know people talk a lot about, oh, the shootings happen in gun-free zones. But like the only places that are gun-free zones are most likely to be places the government has extreme right. influence. And it's like, oh, I'm so upset about you killing kids in schools. Well, those are government schools. So
right.
you know, while your kids are under the protection of the government, they're being slaughtered. And I never thought about that. It's not, it always the arguments about guns, but it comes to who was charged to protect your children. You entrusted them to the institution and the institution allowed them to get killed. So, and then at the same time, they're like, they can't even figure out how to secure a school. And they, you know, and the more they secure these schools with metal detectors, like I did in LA, you know, and these kinds of things and more police officers, it's like the more violent it actually becomes. They can't manage anything.
If you go to a restaurant and you get sick and die, you have a lawsuit. If your kid gets shot at school, oopsie daisy, you'd better have a march about it. This is completely insane and unconscionable. And thank God there's some sense on the right where people are scratching their heads and being like, wait a minute, the data doesn't match what we said. I'm going to say one more point. If it wasn't for social media, none of us would have been aware of how bad the situation is, because you would hear about these incidents through corporate media outlets. You wouldn't see really what's going on, and you could just dismiss it as crazy Antifa or crazy AOC propaganda. But these videos from all over the world, which are being presented unfiltered, which is not something that CNN or any of these other outlets would show you, and you don't have to say anything. Just look at the video. And when you see it in full context, of course, sometimes clips are taken out of context and are, of course, confusing. If you look at the full context, video after video after video, it makes the argument for itself. There's – what was it? It's the Netherlands. There were people in a public park, and the cops were old men. Cops were on horseback clubbing them in the head and making them bloody. How much money would it cost for you, would you have to take as a salary, to club an old man who's sitting in a park over the head?
I just wouldn't do it. It's unconscionable.
Of course not. Or I mean, if that footage was on YouTube, you'd rather have a porno out about yourself, because that would be less shameful than hitting an old man for enjoying sunshine.
Yeah, it is weird. And you know what it is. Is you know, and I correct me if I'm wrong. Law enforcement in Australia. We just did an episode on Australia. My wife's Australian. My co-host is Australian on my other show. We're very well connected in there. I lived in and out of there for a few years myself, so I understand. And I was talking to one of my family members, who I won't mention who they are, but they work as a police officer. They're not currently enforcing COVID restrictions, and they told me specifically that you have this ability in the police force of called like discretionary enforcement. So right. for instance, if you pull someone over, you can decide not to give them a ticket based off of understanding the context of the situation. But the person told me that when it comes to COVID measures in Australia, they've taken away the right of discretion for the officers. So essentially, if you do not enforce these to the full extent, you are not, your humanity and ability to discern has been removed, specifically with COVID measures, which if you read even some of these announcements of the New South Wales or even of the Victorian enforcement, where they're talking about how they have the right to force treatment on you, like we're seeing those videos where they can literally force you down and inject you with treatment that is being sold as a vaccine. They can also basically force themselves into your house. Everything that would be considered unethical simply because it's under a health measure, right? And so that power can be perverted and distorted, which is where it's so interesting that just a year and a half ago, I was a loving, contributing member of my society. And my family told me that too. They're like, we were just serving members of our community. But all of a sudden, if I don't enforce a COVID law, which goes against my conscience, I'm now an enemy of my state. I can be arrested, even as like a police officer. You could be taken down by not introducing that. I think people are so afraid. They're so controlled. And it's like a cult that it's become like tyranny, and authoritarianism has become this sort of like branch-like cult where people have compromised and have given up their value system to the government. And so they, I think they feel a sense of guilt. And so they're, through force, they're joining together and they're trying to get everyone else to be like, well, I compromise and I'm a part of this force of evil. So you join me too. And to a lot of people right now, under threat of losing their job, under threat of, again, even police under threat of losing their jobs, right? If they don't use force, if people don't get the vaccine, they can't keep their job. People feel backed into a corner and they either are depressed or they're feeling angry. And may I even say, some people even feeling like the potentialness of violence, which is why I think the Department of Homeland Security noticed an uptick probably of violent rhetoric in online chat rooms and things, because not because people were just like, oh, F it, I want to try, you know, a new, the Green Party to get into government. They're going, we're going to have to burn this shit to the ground. And I'm not saying that on my show. I'm just saying people are definitely saying that. I agree. I've seen it. I hear it. When I talk behind closed doors, I hear how people speak. People are mad. They're getting angrier. And is that the right reaction to this? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people feel like it's either comply or get violent. And what do they do then? What's the in-between?
First of all, there's no in-between. First of all, for the cops themselves, if you're brave enough to face a criminal, you're brave enough to face unemployment for a temporary reason. And if you have a lot of good qualities, which many cops certainly do, they will be able to find employment in the private sector. And at a certain point, it doesn't really matter, because no amount of money is worth doing some things that are completely unconscionable. Number one, you spoke about selective enforcement of the law. This just speaks to the complete delusion many conservatives have about this idea of objective law. There's a great essay in my anarchist handbook by John Hasnas. He's a Georgetown law professor, called The Myth of Objective Law. The claim is that we're all equal in front of the law. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter your race, your gender, your nationality, you are going to be treated as equally. This is a great demonstration to the contrary. Every cop in that moment, who's a human being somewhat, has to make that decision. Am I going to enforce this speeding ticket or am I not? And so this law is not, by its own claims and own admission, being enforced objectively. Sometimes they enforce it, sometimes they don't, and it's up to the individual. Which becomes a government of men and not a government of laws. That's not even to mention, there's many things about the state that are so insane that unless we've been brought up with them, we regard them as demented when someone came up to us for the first time. This idea that if I'm going too fast, you can stop me, take a lot of my money, and then just send me on my way where I'm going to probably go too fast in the future makes absolutely no sense, but we all take it for granted.
See, and that's interesting, because I just want to play a video outside of the Kabul airport. If you could just put on the screen real fast with some sound. I wonder if we can hear this. So you can hear the gunshots and you can see the people running into the streets, right? This is a real insurrection. This is a takeover of a country through armed force. This involves murder. It involves rape. This is what we're seeing, is this absolute chaos going on in a city. What's interesting is as I look at these images and I see the madness all over the world, it makes me come to two conclusions that I think people would come to. Is number one, this shows you how a government is not the solution, because this is the result of government action or inaction of what we're seeing right now in Kabul, both on behalf of the U.S. government and of the new, or I should say formerly restored, Taliban government. A lot of people believe when you would, let's say, remove a centralized federal government from a land, that what we would see in the United States would be equivalent to like removing the United States regime out of Kabul. And I'm being honest. I know you know this probably. People think this is what would happen. Like, we're going to be in trenches and people are going to be shooting and we're trying to escape to Greenland. I mean, why is it different in the United States if, let's say, the system was changed or turned over on its head, and versus what we're seeing in Kabul in live time right now?
Because what we see in Kabul is exactly what we see in cities in America where the police are at their strongest and the government's at their strongest. You see this in places like Chicago, you see it in places like Detroit, you see it in places like New York. You don't see it in rural areas where people are armed, where people are largely peaceful. So that's number one. Number two is, I agree, if you just snap your fingers and the federal government went away, any transition period is going to be very difficult. Even if something that we all agree on completely, which is abolishing slavery, was 100% a good thing, once that's abolished, the slaves did not have smooth sailing for a long time, nor was there any plans for them to do this for a long time. You had a population that had their entire lives managed for them 24/7, who were by law forced to be illiterate. So you're going to have transition costs in any kind of situation from one to another. What is happening in Afghanistan is a complete nightmare, of course, that is in many ways the American government has to be responsible for. But I think differences are culture. And certainly a more armed and a population would be much more helpful. And it would be not that hard to transition to private security in America. There's lots of things Afghanistan is lacking that we certainly have that would help us effect this transition.
You know, and so like if you go to my screen, Savannah, you know, there's an article from the India Times that came out that Taliban militants have burnt down an amusement park a day after they were enjoying rides. And because Susan Wojcicki and Media Matters and a lot of shows watch this show, I got to be careful to say, you know, I'm not calling for violence. And when I'm even exploring these ideas, I want to let you know that Michael Malice is also not telling anyone to do anything retarded here. But I am saying that, like, no, I just meant like.
Well, actually, that describes literally all my audience.
Well,
they can't help it. They're born fucked up.
Yeah, well, it's like, I just have to say this. I'm just saying, but you know, I think like what you're saying with Kabul is that when people equate, you know, anarchy, when being an anarchist is the immediate thing is that as we've seen a trend in our society where like Black Lives Matter and Antifa have developed that they have this value system of tearing down, right? They're not building something better. They're just removing something that may not be functioning well. For instance, it says right here that Taliban militants burned down an amusement park a day after they were enjoying the rides. Specifically, the highlights, the Taliban militants have allegedly burnt down an amusement park a day after they were seen enjoying the rides following the capture of Kabul. The militants, some of them with weapons in hand, were seen enjoying a ride on the electric bumper cars in the videos. In another video, Taliban militants can be seen riding small merry-go-round horses. And then these images reportedly are of them burning it down as they ban television, music, etc. I think what people are afraid of when they think of changing a system is that the opposite of what we have is ordered is chaos. Why is that not what anarchy is?
What we have seen in the last year and a half was the largest assault on small business that the world had ever experienced. So I'm sure it's not just an amusement park that's been destroyed in the last year and a half, but infinite restaurants, boutiques, every kind of business you have. So if you're going to claim that you know, this amusement park is terrible being burned down, it's true. There's been a lot of businesses that have been destroyed here in the state for the benefit of giant corporations such as Amazon, Target, and so on and so forth, who will always have access to Mitch McConnell's telephone, who will always have access to Nancy Pelosi's telephone, who will always have access to Joe Biden through their lobbyists. When you have the government intervening with the economy, it is always to the benefit of the wealthy and powerful. There's no other way, simply in terms of whose call are you going to take. That's number one. Number two is, I don't regard the Taliban or Marxist elements of Antifa as being for anarchism. They are for the strongest government possible. They are not for freedom. They're not for people making their decisions. They are not for competition in areas of service and providing goods. They are for having a government monopoly that's providing these things. So anarchism in the sense that I'm advocating for, and the sense that the other people whose essays I selected in the Anarchist Handbook are advocating for, are claiming that an anarchist society would be more peaceful because you'd have more self-responsibility and you'd have more people comfortable with protecting themselves and their neighborhoods, as opposed to being disarmed by the state and then being forced to rely on that very state for protection, which gives the state enormous incentive to make sure you're unsafe, because now they've got an excuse to tax you and keep you helpless in your own home.
Yeah, because this is what I've been kind of thinking too from the more conservative side of the audience. Is when you think about like what government does, it's not just that government can put you in prison or jail you. It's also that like world governments and people coming together create systems that go against your values. For instance, like in Sweden, it's so expensive at the tax rate that families simply cannot survive without both parents working to live a middle class life. Now, on top of that, the government then says, okay, well, then we'll make childcare free because we raise your taxes so that way you can work and it's not a burden on you. So essentially, the state basically makes you fund them. They force you to fund them. And then they say, but we're actually helping you because we're taking the burden off of you funding us. And they've created a system where parents no longer raise their kids, that from about 4 years old, they are completely raised by the state. And we're seeing that being introduced in the United States, where it's about going to be free, you know, preschool, free kindergarten, basically, well, so that you can work. No one ever thinks about the fact of, why do we have a system where both parents have to work? Why can't we have a system in families where the husband can go to work, can go to war, and the mother can stay home, can raise the kids? There's strong indicators of the value of that in just general biology, general nature, and also in religious terms as well, especially in Christianity. And also just meeting fucked up people when you're an adult and you realize all that shit had to do with their childhood. Anyway, on that note, it's like you see this inefficiency. And my question is, when I read this, I read this tweet here from a martyr maid that talked about the Afghanistan war that we are talking about. So apparently, I don't know if these numbers are fully accurate, but I'm sure they're close. Apparently, the whole Afghanistan war cost $2.2 trillion. We killed 51,000 Taliban, essentially just like citizens of Afghanistan. We just like killed a bunch of Arab people. 2,000 were Al-Qaeda, a link to this group, which really posed very little threat to the United States long term. I mean, our government, I would say, has been posing greater threat. So if you divide the amount of people that we killed in terms of conquering and winning a war, that equals out to $42 million that we spent to exterminate each person we saw as an enemy to our state. And apparently this isn't a realistic image. I can't verify it, of what $50 million of cash would look like. Essentially, we could have just dropped a crate of cash on the heads of each militant and basically accomplished what we accomplished. The government is inefficient. It's wasteful. And when you look at it into the perspective of just like, you know, getting rid of a system and there being a vacuum of terror, when you look at this kind of waste, I think the person would look at you, Michael, and the only criticism would be of, it would be like just like a cult leader where it's like, yeah, we'd all love to live kumbaya in the desert and all live peaceably. But with this kind of totalitarian, authoritarian breadth of numbers, like in the trillions that don't even make sense to us, why is your, you know, idea for the world or your vision not just a smokescreen and like a good old vision or you know, utopian, ideal, rather than something that I think a lot of people think, well, that's not actually going to work because that's not how the world works. We can't actually make that happen when these kind of entities are actually in place. Like, how could your ideas actually come into effect in a country like the United States that spends $2.2 trillion on a dumbass war?
Sure. So what Afghanistan, one of the biggest arguments about anarchism is, well, what happens when China decides to invade? And we had our answer this week. If China tried to invade the American population, which was all armed, 350 million people, they would have their asses kicked for a very long time. But even that's beside the point. No, anarchism is not utopian. It solves one major problem. If I said to you, I'm going to cure cancer, would you say that's utopian? Of course not. You're still going to have murderers. You're still going to have rapists. You're still going to have dictators who are going to try to expand their sphere of influence. What is a more effective ways of keeping them at bay? Having an armed population, having a population where people are comfortable with their security, and not having a leader. Because if you have a president, it's very easy to have a government to submit on behalf of an entire country. If you have decentralized authority and if the authority is voluntary, how are you going to conquer it where everyone is basically their own state and every neighborhood has to submit on its own? So this is it's going to be it's not utopian at all. It's going to be have a very high cost. And at a certain point, if there's a lot of people that want to kill you and you have a small population, as the U.S. has demonstrated, at a certain point, they're going to win. So to claim otherwise would be utopian. To say that any group of people who are anarchists can take on any army is demonstrably false. But this delusion people have that if you have a big enough army, you can take over and conquer anything. This country was founded on a bunch of white trash who did not even have shoes, marching around and taking on the British, who at the time were regarded correctly as complete juggernauts, unconquerable foes, and we kicked their ass then, and revolution is in the blood of every American, both those of us who have been born here and those of us like myself who have been fortunate enough to immigrate and become citizens that way.
Right, but I mean, there is a fact too that I think we had a lot of French money, and it kind of wonders if we're going to overturn the system today. I don't know if with the corporate interests that control the world and the global economy, country would fund a revolt, and is that like that? How would that even happen? Like, where would you get the money to do that?
Sure. So it doesn't have to be violent. It doesn't have to be sudden, right? So the question is, I think it was Hemingway said, how do you go bankrupt gradually or suddenly? There are certain mechanisms that would have to take in place that would eliminate the power of this kind of corporate Washington two-headed snake that is taking on the population. One of the biggest ways is get your children out of government schools. It boggles my mind that conservatives often understand just how depraved and evil the government is, and then hand over their children, have them raised, and then wonder why 10 years later they have a creature who despises them and hates their values. This is not an accident. It is by design. There's a reason kindergarten is a German word. This was the Prussian model that comes from the mid-1800s, who was founded by Bismarck, the idea that we're going to create a population who are going to be basically a mini army, so that when we need an army, we just snap our fingers and they've all been prepared for it. So things like teaching us all at the same time, having us all go to school at the same time, everyone's sitting still and listening. Government schools are by design not there to teach but two, as they put it, make good citizens. And what good citizens are, as opposed to potential terror threats, are people who are silent and obedient and who will be comfortable ratting you out if you haven't taken the vaccine that someone had decreed for you. Yeah. So it's not going. It's going to be absolutely a long slog. I'm not pretending otherwise. There's no magic wand here to regaining freedom, even if you don't believe in anarchism. Even if you're saying, okay, they've gone too far, how do we pull it back? No, anyone who says it's going to be a snap of the fingers is lying to you, because this didn't happen overnight on their behalf. This has been going on since Woodrow Wilson at the earliest. It's been going on for over 100 years. So it's not going to be resolved in 1 year. But what I'm very hopeful about is the increasing number of Americans who are red-pilled, by which I mean the understanding that what is presented as fact by the corporate press is actually a carefully constructed narrative designed to keep some very nasty people in power.
No, and I agree with you on that. And that's why I want to tell you guys something important. As you take care of your family, know that the U.S. value system and American families have been under attack for a while. And if you have a family or you're a single person or you plan on starting one, you know that you have to have your own self-built safety net that is so crucial. That's what we're talking about, is a self-reliance away from the state. And, you know, a lot of you guys, 50% of us that have health insurance have high deductible plans. A lot of us don't have any safety net at all. And you get hurt, you go to the emergency room, and even if you have health insurance, you get left with a big bill. Essentially, all of these plans for health insurance that are brought to you are, you know, the government has their hands in them. These are corporate interest groups that don't care about you, which is why you need to join SafetyNet.club. Now, when you go to SafetyNet.club, not only do you get $10,000 automatic accidental death and dismemberment insurance at no cost, which means that if you die, that your beneficiaries get $10,000 to cover your funeral costs. You don't have to do any raising on GoFundMe. I know that can be embarrassing, especially in a hard time. You also, if you lose an eye or an arm, maybe this can help you be more brave, fight for your country. You get $10,000 as well to help cover costs if you have to take work off and heal. But on top of that, you get access to all types of services, like for $15 a month, if you go to an emergency room and you get those high costs that come out thousands of dollars, sometimes 10, 20, even can be, you know, way higher than that. You don't know what to do. How do you pay for that? Most people in America can't even cover, do you know this? Most 60% of Americans can't even cover $1,000 extra cost if it came to them. And I'm not mocking that. I'm saying a lot of people need safety. Well, for about $15 a month, when you go there, you can get accident insurance, which basically will cover all these things and costs that could come up if you get involved in an accident. So you can take more control of your safety. You can take more control of when bad things happen. You can take better control of your health. Go to safetynet.club, get your $10,000 accidental death and dismemberment insurance like I did, because I actually get into places where that can happen, and you might too. You never know what's going to happen. And also find out all the services that they offer for you piece by piece and build the plan that works for you. Go to safetynet.club. That is SafetyNet.club, SafetyNet.club, and join the Safety Net Club today. Find out how to take your life into perspective. Michael, I wanted to jump into this too, because as you said about this being a gradual change, and I want to bring this, make this personal. My audience knows that the changes that I'm making in my life, you know, I've decided to live a certain lifestyle that is under the means that I would want to live, so that my wife can be home. So as we, you know, work on getting pregnant, yep, that she can raise the kids, right? I had to make structural changes. I had to leave Los Angeles. Specifically, I had to leave LA and move to Texas just to get out of Los Angeles. I had to make this decision saying, I don't think this pandemic is going to end. I need to go somewhere where my freedoms are more valued, around people like-minded. If you can go to my screen right now, Mayor Bill de Blasio says starting tomorrow, you'll need proof of vaccination to unlock everything New York City has to offer. Valid proof of vaccine includes paper, CDC cards, Excelsior Pass, New York City COVID Safe app, any official vaccine record. And they list these things here, like you can't access indoor entertainment. That's movie theaters, concerts, aquariums, stadiums, exhibition halls, etc. Indoor dining like restaurants, catering halls, nightclub. I don't know, cabarets. I guess that's a thing in New York. Grocery stores with indoor dining like Whole Foods, for instance, and indoor fitness, gyms, fitness centers, etc. This is where you live. I'm pretty sure you're in New York, right?
Yes.
So what are you doing about this? Well, I mean, you're preaching, you're telling people, hey, you're gonna have to make structural changes that affect your life. So, I mean, someone's gonna be like, Michael, little bitch, what the hell are you doing about it?
Well, I don't know that I'd reply to them if they addressed me in that way.
No, I just mean, but like, there's always those douchebags that are like, what are you doing about it? So what do you do? Yeah. I mean, this is your city. What are you doing about this?
It's no longer my city. What they have done to New York is unforgivable. I've lived here all my life since I was 1 and a half. I don't even know how to drive. And in a couple of weeks, I will be a proud Austin resident. And I know people are laughing because that's the Brooklyn of Texas. That's where all my friends went. I'm going to have a lovely townhouse there, and I'm very excited to do so. Mayor de Blasio has done more damage to New York City than Muhammad Atta ever dreamed of doing. It is absolutely insane. I can think back. Let's go back 100 years. I was born in the former Soviet Union. And when Lenin took power in 1917, one of the big criticisms about the Tsar was that he had internal passports. And when the communists did it, this was looked at, regarded around the whole world as demonstrating their hypocrisy and this being an aspect of tyranny. So I will not be showing any kind of card to go into a restaurant. You can go F yourself, number one. Number two is I think it's just having a proof of vaccine is not at all proof that you don't have COVID. This if they had a card that says, I just took a test, assuming the tests were 100% effective, and I could prove I don't have COVID, then you could let me in. That might make more sense to me. Being vaccinated, as they've talked about repeatedly, not only does not even close to 100% prevent me from having it, it doesn't close to 100% prevent me from spreading it. So just because something is better does not mean it is permissible for you to restrict my freedom as a restaurateur to allow me to have these decisions or to make these decisions. So it's absolutely unconscionable, and I cannot wait to get out of here. And this is going to be devastating to those small and medium businesses which rely on things like tourism, because that's what makes New York and other places unique. You have someone who hangs up their shingle, you're going to have a restaurant. My favorite restaurant, last year in July, a fan sent me money to go to Zenkichi, which is my favorite restaurant here in New York. It's, what, 13 months later, I've never been able to cash in that gift certificate. I'm going to leave New York not having been able to do so. It's just absolutely despicable what they've done, and these people need to face personal consequences for their malfeasance and depravity.
Hey, well, first of all, welcome to Texas. I think that people don't realize that Texas is not just people who are like right wing moving here. It's just people who want some freedom. I have been calling myself a citizen of the Republic of Texas recently.
Yes.
Simply because I with Chip Roy and with Ken Paxton and some of these people, we need to get Abbott out. He's definitely a little too establishment, or a lot too establishment.
He refuses to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Never trust a governor who refuses to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Unconscionable.
Good luck, though, too, Michael, moving to Austin, yeah. Dealing with Mayor Adler. He is one of the most liberal mayors. Well, all of our major cities here in Texas are run by Democratic mayors. But good luck in Austin. It looks like mini LA over there. When I first moved there, no homeless on the street. Now crime is up. Homelessness is up. It's litter everywhere. You have people self-vaccinating under overpasses in Austin. So it's really sad to see what Democrats have done to Austin.
I don't think it's just exclusively Democrats, to be fair, but it's still going to be such a huge improvement over New York, because at the very least, I'll have my social network and all my people. So
yeah,
I'm very
I know.
Excited.
Do we have that video? They're requiring vaccinations in LA, and I saw this clip from, this is very common in Starbucks. You put it on the screen here. You can't go inside unless you're vaccinated, but you can walk in butt naked and have your dick flinging around. That's literally in LA. Do you know that when I met my wife, when I brought her to LA, like before we got married, she had seen multiple homeless penises before we had, like, she'd even seen mine. Like that was common in LA, where naked people would walk into stores. And she was like, is this common that people masturbate and are naked in public? And I said, yeah, in Los Angeles, this is like a normal thing.
I did not expect to see dick today. I'm on the blaze.
You never expect to see it. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how it works, folks.
I'm going to have to give a call to Stu and figure out what's going on over there with you people.
Anyway, Michael, hopefully you've seen one. Hopefully we've been dicks to you. Thank you so much again for coming on. If people want to follow you, if they want to find you, other than your books, anarchisthandbook.com, where can people follow you, find you, and continue to track your ideas?
Twitter.com/MichaelMalice and YouTube.com/MichaelMaliceOfficial. And remember, freedom is your right.
All right. Perfect. Michael Malice, thank you so much. The author of Dear Reader, The New Right, The Anarchist Handbook, as well as host of You're Welcome, all capitals in quotes. Also, don't forget to address him as he, him, and understand that perhaps this is the man who says that he didn't expect to see any peepees, but he did say that he's a renowned sheath underwear model. And so we know where he's packing his. Anyway, Michael, thank you so much for coming on. When you're out here in Texas, hopefully we can have you on in person as well.
Would love that.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Malice. We sat through a lot of his ideas. He said he thought it went well. We're really happy about it. And, you know, it's interesting because even as you can see myself, not every idea that he says I've thought of, and that's okay. On the political journey, people are so obsessed with this, you know, gender identity and this, you know, defining yourself. People get the same way with politics as well, where they're so busy about defining who they are that they just forget to enjoy the pleasure of just self-discovery and figuring out the world. You know, I think it's so funny. Everyone's so concerned about like sexual gender. You ever thought about this, Sav? They're so concerned about like what sex you identify by, but nobody talks about like just actually enjoying sex. Like the fact that God made it and it was made for procreation. And no one talks about its purpose or like the process of it. It's always just like, let's talk about what I like and what I don't like in terms of what I want you to identify me as. And politics is the exact same weird identitarian, like, well, I'm a centrist, blah, 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 conservative. Well, see, and it's like, what about the fun of just figuring out life?
Yeah, too large, because I know a lot of our viewers as well, like you talked about, everyone wants to, you know, label themselves as something. And especially with the whole back the blue movement, I think a lot of conservatives, especially because they've gone so hard on that, they don't want to let it go. And they're kind of nervous and being like, well, I already labeled myself as someone who backs the blue. I can't go back on it now. But again, with what Michael said at this episode, I think it will change minds. And don't be afraid to grow and evolve with your politics as you grow.
Yeah, I'm exploring. I'm telling you this, Sav and I are exploring. I don't think we've ever unironically invited an anarchist onto our show. I think I don't think we did. And you know, and I like Michael because I've been on a few shows, or at least one show with him on a panel. And I remember being introduced to him that way.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, you know, I don't feel like this guy's wrong on what he's saying, but I don't hear people with that perspective being given a lot of platforms. And I think we need to get back to introducing these ideas. Maybe many of you guys might have been already familiar with him. He's not like any small deal, and he is kind of a big guy in the real world, a lot bigger than we are in terms of influence. But it's kind of cool because he's an anarchist. He kind of gets around with different types of podcasts. I encourage you to check out his work. I want to remind you guys, if you make it this far in the podcast, that you continue to support this show by leaving a 5-star review. And if you've heard it many times before and you go, when will he shut up? Well, maybe because you have not left one. But also, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And I don't ask for a lot in this world. I work in a broom closet. Okay. This is the kind of stuff that I do. And you know, Savannah's back there. I had to hang a little flag and stuff. We're trying to make this work.
Look,
in the meantime,
I have a plant too, guys.
She has a plant.
If you guys are watching or listening on podcast, maybe check out our YouTube channel just so you can check out my plant, but then go back to listening to podcast because we're trying to get the views up.
You might have your review read as well. Also, don't forget that if you are a regular viewer of the show, become an official SOB. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah. Become a member and support the show as we fight censorship since we're demonetized everywhere. These are innate, you know, ways to continue with the show. Not all advertisers stick with our show long term. Not all people do. But if you can, you know, if you don't have $10 a month, that's fine. Go ahead and leave a review. And if you have $10 a month and you want to support the show and you get access to everybody else like Beck and Crowder, you get those access to their content as well exclusively. Anyway, let's go to our reviews for today. Our review comes from Hillary Dean. Says, my kind of podcast. I don't listen to many podcasts because I get lost easily and lose interest. But Elijah keeps the momentum going his entire show and provides laughs throughout. That's good. There wasn't so many laughs today besides at the end. He's easy to follow along with, and he speaks truth 100% of the time. Deep respect, and I hope you continue doing what you're doing for a long time to come. I pray for you and your coworkers and the work you all do in this current political climate. Truth be told, this show wasn't a podcast. This was just like a weird YouTube channel where we like just did weird stuff. And then all of a sudden, I decided to make a podcast, luckily about 1 year before the pandemic hit, and that was really hard to make.
I'm just laughing because I'm remembering when I first started on with you, and I was like, cool, so where's our set? Where's our studio? And you're like, I have a computer and a camera. And I was like, oh, and we've created a great podcast now. We're doing great.
I was like,
now,
Savannah,
guys,
do you want to produce my podcast and help me make it a real podcast?
It doesn't exist. And I was like,
She was like, where's, it was in my guest bedroom and it was a white desk. And you were like,
and you know, it was like sleeping on your guest bed. And I was like, hello, what is this?
Elijah, you have any dim sum? You know, Andy, in the background. No, but you're like, this is, so your podcast is not real. And I'm like, not really. I've mostly been filming it on top of like burned cars in Kenosha. Mm-hmm, and we need to make it a studio show because my expiration date on the field is here. So thanks to Savannah for that. We also have one from Tuxtmania. Says, love the show. Double exclamation.
Love the show.
You're my top host, Elijah. Keep up the great work. You and Seth, both hilarious content to get me through the worst of days.
Top host.
Work.
There we go. Look
there
at
you go.
Elijah.
Not top 18. Anyway, my name's Elijah Schaefer. I am the best worst host of the best worst show here on Blaze TV. Always by accompanied by the lovely Savannah Hernandez. You can follow her on YouTube as well. Sav says you can find the links in the description. You can follow me on social media. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.